Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Axl Rose released his first new song since 2008. It's for an episode of Looney Tunes.
I love this.
It's called Rock the Rock, and the video is animated. It's got Bugs Bunny in it, got Porky Pig on guitar, and it is for an episode of the new Looney Tunes where Axl plays a cartoon version of himself. If at that point, I'm officially stoked. If I'm, because Axl's close to my age, so yeah. I mean, if he grew up like I grew up, they were so popular, Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig, and you get to be in a cartoon with them like that.
And I'm looking at the cartoon version of Axl, and it's very like late 80s, early 90s version of Axl Rose. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And if you saw Guns N' Roses on their last tour, they come out to the Looney Tunes theme.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of bands find a certain song to go with, like kind of get you to bring the band out, or like that plays right before the band comes on. That's kind of like the note that's like, hey, the band's about to come out, and they do the Looney Tunes theme. So I think Axl is a big Looney Tunes fan.
This has got to be Nirvana for him then.
Yeah, you have your own cartoon.
Yeah, dude. And basically with the characters you grew up loving. Oh, man. So, yeah. So the new Looney Tunes, which is on the Boomerang Network, that's where it'll be. And so what it is Axl is there as a version of himself, cartoon style, forming a band of Looney Tunes characters that rocks loud enough to sonically pulverize an approaching asteroid. That's why the title of the song is Rock the Rock. And you want to hear it? You guys want?
Yeah.
All right, here's a little piece of Axl doing Rock the Rock.
It's time to rock the rock.
Turn it up, make it loud, get your guitar man.
Porky's on the guitar.
Well, yeah, that's a song.
Yeah.
Hey, like, man, it's better than anything off of Chinese Democracy.
Not wrong.
It doesn't sound like when he's singing like he bothered to stand up. Like, it sounds like he's sitting down to sing the song.
I can totally picture what you're trying to say right
now. Yeah, it's just like minimal effort.
Well, I mean, this is a song for a cartoon.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be putting his best foot forward.
See, but I am with Rev. I feel like there are performers that would put their best foot forward.
So cool.
Yeah.
I get it. It's kind of like, turn it off. Rock the rock.
Yeah, see.
Axl Rose.
Maybe there's some kid out there who is really into it, and then you can say, yeah, here's Appetite for Destruction. And then you can lead him into that sort of
mind. Gateway drug.
Exactly.
All right, I'm for that.
I'm okay with that then.
Yeah, anybody that will lead them into Appetite of Destruction, that would be
fun. I get a kick out of that. The fact that he did it. I wouldn't be happy if that's the new Guns N' Roses song. Then I would be on the same page as the Rev, like, what's going on, guys? Maybe try a little harder?
See, that's the problem. You know, it's when you get to it, when you get older. That's the thing, because we've heard some Axl, too. We've heard other stuff that, you know, sometimes he sounds amazing and sometimes he doesn't.
But I would imagine that they wrote the song already. They had the song done. The music was there. The music's nothing special. It's very basic. And they said, here, can you just go and sing this? You're going to be in the cartoon. He's like, F yeah, that'll be fun. But, you know.
I think you might be right.
He didn't write the song.
I think you might be right. He might have been like, I'll do whatever you want if you're going to put me in a Looney Tune. It could be that he was like, I don't care what you do. I just want to be with Bugs and Porky.
I just think it's hilarious that his first song that we hear a new song with Axl singing on it that we hear in over 10 years is that.
You're right. See, that's the problem. I think Guns N' Roses fans are like you said, like Rev is like, no, is this the first new thing I'm going to hear is this?
I'm a Guns N' Roses fan. This doesn't change my excitement for a new GNR record if they end up doing that, which I'm hearing they are.
So we have, so far, 50% of the Guns N' Roses fans like it.
Yes.
We can say that.
It's very polarized.
Our survey of two. So anyway, the Boomerang Network, that's the new Looney Tunes. We got a review from Vicky, actually, about the Boomerang Network, and she's not a big fan because she doesn't like the new stuff. She's already getting old.
Like, I did the free trial, and it's like, for Amazon, you can get a 7-day free trial, and then it's like $4 or $5 every month after that. Mm-hmm. And it was exciting because my dad and I loved Tom and Jerry and the old school Scooby-Doo, and there really wasn't a whole lot of the old stuff.
Damn.
It's mostly a lot of the new Looney Tunes, a lot of the new Tom and Jerry.
And you don't want any of that.
But you can get full-length movies, Scooby-Doo originals, and Hanna-Barbera classics.
Yeah, not enough for me to keep it.
$3.33 a month. Start your 7-day free trial.
Jeez, so now there's this network. I mean, you're going to have to a la carte everything, and it's going to cost you so much more than cable. $40 a year.
Just $40 a year get you all these cartoons, BJ.
$40 a year?
Yeah.
Really?
1-year gift for $40.
Well, that doesn't seem like a bad deal, but then again, I'm
or
like,
you
oh,
just
what
go to YouTube and get all these cartoons you want for
kinda,
free.
Yeah, I know. I feel badly doing that though, because you know.
I don't. I grew up watching these shows. I already gave them my business back when I was a kid. I feel like I'm grandfathered in.
You're the guy that kept the Brady Bunch from getting their residuals because
I didn't.
That's what the people used to think. We already paid you, kids. Why do you think you should get paid more and more every time the episodes run?
I woke up every day and watched these cartoons. I bought what they were selling. What more do you want from me?
Well, I guess then you only see Aquaman once if you see it at all. You're not that person that will multiply and see it because Aquaman's kicking ass.
What a terrible Aquaman fan I am.
Yeah, you
I have not seen it.
How are you? And you were fighting with us in the kitchen. We were having a conversation about why none of us really want to go see it. And it's not because it's bad or anything. It's just we don't have a desire to go see it. And you come in, you go.
I'm like, it's great. Blah, blah, blah. And you go, oh, did you see it? I'm like, no.
It's like, here's Steve having an argument about it.
I did see it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, over the weekend.
Now I don't have to.
Right? I give it like a C+, and that's mostly because Jason Momoa.
See, I feel like most of that money was just under $300 million so far. It's made.
Yeah, it's raked in $259 million.
Yeah, I think $245 million of that were from women.
Yeah.
Well, I think. See, we all were trying to find a motivator to go.
Yeah.
And Vicky's motivator.
Aquaman.
Exactly. What?
Water.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, so on the BJ Shea Geek Nation podcast, we have all been like, so who's going to go see this movie? We really don't want it. And Vicky just kept saying, Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa.
And I
can
tried.
I ask a question?
Yes.
Does at any point is he wearing the old school orange and green?
Like the yellowy green? Yeah. Yes, he is.
Oh, you haven't seen the previews?
Okay, now I'll go see it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got all of the previews.
I just assumed that he's like, you know, remember when they changed him in the comic books? That's when I was done with Aquaman.
You were done when they said new uniform, get out?
Yeah, when they tried to make him look cool. I'm like, no, he's dorky. He's supposed to be dorky. He's a delegator.
Well,
he's
Jason
the greatest
Momoa.
Delegator of all time.
Yeah, Jason Momoa is anything but dorky.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's so the casting is interesting because he's so not like Aquaman at all, like you
sick.
Said.
Yeah, he is in the old. Yeah,
it looks good.
That's cool.
He's a delegator. Hey, fish, go do this.
Right. Go do it, fish.
And actually, they do a really cool thing with that. My only problem with the movie was a lot of the CGI, and I get it, it's hard. It's underwater. It was just god awful. My friend commented it felt like you're watching like a video game cutscene.
Oh, that's unfortunate because I always love the underwater scene in Star Wars. The Gungan army for the episode one. I thought that was really well done. Granted, the whole movie is nobody likes him, but Lucas never had bad CGI.
You got a lot of texts from people saying that you need to see it in IMAX.
I did see it in IMAX.
What about 4DX?
No, I didn't.
See, I think I need. If I'm going to see this, I have to see it in 4DX.
I don't want to see bad, like, but poncho. I don't want to pay three. I don't want to pay big money to see bad CGI.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think 3D is going to help it. Do you?
Well, there was a moment where you see
marijuana might help.
Yes, it
would. That's a good point.
There's some actors that were made younger for a couple of scenes, and they looked real bad. You can tell the CGI was just kind of floating. It almost looked like a Snapchat filter, just
how
a little better.
How did they screw that up?
I know. Well, they screwed up
technology
because you saw they did it for Ant-Man. Yeah, DC screwed up for Ant-Man. Meanwhile, they made Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas look good when they did the young scenes.
It looked great, and I don't know why they couldn't do it for this one.
God, so Marvel wins again at least from that department. Wow.
Well, dude, they're making a ton of cash. This is so crazy that Aquaman's the number one movie, and that was the whole premise of Entourage.
Yeah.
And it becoming the number one movie.
Yeah. Here's the hard thing. I mean, you're right. It's making a lot of money. I don't know who's going to see it. because if they're geeky fans like Vicky,
horny Jason Momoa fans,
right?
Clearly. That's what it is.
I have a lot of mom friends that are like, oh, no, I'll take my sons or my kids to this movie. I'm definitely going to go see this movie.
I would love to know how much of that money from what they've made so far is from people who don't typically give a crap about comic movies, but just really freaking love Jason Momoa.
I think you're right, Steve. It has to be. Because
it's like 50 Shades of Grey, almost.
Yeah,
I think this is better than 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, well, that's good news. At least then if you like the movie better. I'll watch it at some point. I don't know when. What really surprises me is the Bumblebee, which is the Transformers movie.
John Cena.
It's not doing well, and yet it's critically acclaimed. Everybody who's seen it loves the movie. So I don't know why that hasn't caught on, and Aquaman has, when nobody really likes Aquaman. A lot of people love Transformers. It's a good movie. Aquaman's an okay movie. I don't understand why this is happening.
I think the last few Transformers kind of just...
Ooh, good point.
Yeah. I gave up on Transformers. And I love Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Marky
and Farmer.
I still haven't watched that Transformers. So I'm just like, I'm just done. I think we tried and we gave up on it.
Here's the deal. The foreign market for Bumblebee is insane. It's only made like $97 million domestically, but it's made almost $192 million. And most of that's Chinese markets. It was really big in China. Like the last, not the previous one, the previous one before the last Transformers was really big in China. Like they had Chinese actors and they did some Chinese product placement. So I think they're looking more worldwide than domestic on that one.
Well, that's the sad. Yeah, Danny?
93% on Rotten Tomatoes for Bumblebee.
Yeah.
John Cena even joked about that in the last week's episode of Raw where he was just like certified fresh.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that the folks that really love the Transformers, like you'll talk to some Transformer geeks and go, G1 is all it's all about. I only want G1. And it's Generation 1. Well, those folks are like, this is a great movie. This is finally the Transformers movie we wanted.
Huh.
Which is why it's like, so how has the word not gotten out that it would do better than this?
Or maybe people are just like, you know what? I bet it's great. I'll just wait for it to come out on demand or on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing,
but I'm not a huge Transformers fan.
Hey, to go back to the Aquaman, someone texted and said, I watched Aquaman in 4DX. Absolutely worth it. Trust me, the story wasn't actually too bad. Another person says, I don't know what Vicky's talking about. The underwater stuff in Aquaman, amazing. I think the movie was great. I'm a 44-year-old man.
Oh, now we got a problem, Vicky.
It's their faces, man. You can't tell me that their faces looked okay or their bodies. They look like video game characters.
Because I will say that what I saw in the previews, I thought looked good. You guys know? As far as the underwater scenes, they didn't look good.
Nothing stood out from the trailers. I kind of haven't seen all the trailers, but of the trailers I saw, I was like, this looks like it's going to be pretty badass.
And don't get me wrong, I still had fun. Like, I enjoyed the movie. I just had a hard time with the CGI.
Somebody says it was by far one of the best DC movies in the DC universe, and most of them are just plain poop.
Well, and this is the extended universe, because they're saying it's the most successful DC extended universe movie, because, of course, Batman is just in the regular DC universe, and those movies have kicked ass for them.
Oh my gosh, someone says Aquaman is the Nickelback of superhero movies.
Well, you know what? In a way, maybe so.
I'd rather only watch Aquaman for the rest of my life if my only other choice was to watch any of the like Batman versus Superman or any of the new Superman movies, because those are god-awful.
And better than Green Lantern, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I give Aquaman number two, Wonder Woman being the first for DC movies, and Aquaman 2. All the other ones are just crap.
I gotta watch it. I wish I had the will to want to. I really just don't want to. I mean, I'll wait for it to come out on demand. I don't care about 4D or anything. I just don't care about Aquaman. That's really the thing. I never cared about the guy. And I'm not horny for Jason Momoa, so I got no reason.
See, I love Aquaman, and I'm horny for Jason Momoa.
Two reasons for you.
And I don't know why I haven't seen it yet.
And Amber Heard's pretty hot in it, too.
You're right. Didn't she look like Ariel?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Steve.
Why?
Yeah. You know, at my age, you got to do more than just throw a pretty redhead on the screen to get me to go to a movie. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Well,
really
that's
do.
Why you have Jason Momoa. You got a pretty redhead.
Oh, I see.
Jason
oh, there
Momoa.
You go.
You got two for one, man.
They have pills for that, BJ. You really need to.
Steve, you're right. You're absolutely right. You got to give me my pills if you want me to go.
Aaron from Everett says, I saw Bumblebee twice. It's awesome. Best Transformers movie to date. Michael Bay can go suck it.
See, that's what I've been hearing from everybody that really wished. And hey, look, as a Fantastic Four fan, I've been waiting for someone to do a good movie. I feel like a lot of Transformers fans have been waiting for the same thing, and Bumblebee's finally it, according to them.
Well, they have to make an effort to go see Aquaman in 4DX before it goes out of
Yeah, please do, because I would love to hear what you think about
it.
All right, we have got one of the most popular sports radio hosts in the Northwest, and he will be back behind a microphone. I mean, he has been back behind a microphone with his podcast, but he will be back behind a broadcast radio microphone, I believe, for the first time since he wasn't. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And where can you find him so you can hear more of what he has to say beyond what he says today? Well, we're going to tell you all that because Mitch Levy will be in studio with us at 8:17. And yeah, we will talk Hawks, unfortunately. Mitch Levy with us at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
BJ, I'm very excited to have our next guest on. For many of you, he was a morning standard to listen to on sports radio. Please welcome to the show, Mitch Levy.
Thank you, guys.
There he is.
Mitch, yeah, in front of a live mic.
You know what it's like to week after week. No, you don't. I'm going to answer the question before I even ask.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy.
You know what it's like to go into your office, to your boss's office, week after week, month after month, year after year, and have him show you the same radio station and the same morning show kicking your ass for years and years and years, and you're just wondering, what are they doing over there? Are they cheating? They're cheating. Somehow, this is, they're fixing the, I mean, it got to a point where I think I requested from our program director, when you print out the numbers, start with number two. Would you just start with number two? Because I'm tired. I'm really tired after years and years and years. So this is where it all happens. But you told me during the break, this isn't the place that it happened for years and years. Right?
Yeah, these are our new studios for 2 years. But you know what, Mitch? I know what it's like because I have a friend of mine that lives in town, Terry, from the Lex and Terry Show, and he lives in Seattle. But they have a show in Dallas and they're syndicated. And when I first met him, he didn't, you know, I'm just one of the shows that he kicked their ass in when I was living in Jacksonville. And so he says, nice to meet you. I've heard good things about you. And I said, look, if I'm a little mean to you, it's only because, and like you said, every friggin' day when I lived in Jacksonville, they showed the ratings and was always Lex and Terry kicking my ass. So I kind of hate you, even though you're a good guy. So I think we've all had experience if we stay in the business long enough where you meet the guy that you really? Are you the guy that every day?
Well, I've been enjoying, I saw you post on Twitter that you were going to come join us on the show, and it's been fun reading the comments.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I thought you guys all had beef. You're going to go on that. It's an interesting thing.
We did have a beef, and I'm going to tell you this right now. It was all me, because I had a beef with everybody, because when I was miserable, I picked a fight with everybody. Mitch never did anything to me, but that didn't stop me from being mean to him, because you know what? Mitch was a competitor, which is why when we finally got to meet, I mean, I was like, I think you're really gracious to come meet and have lunch with me, because I don't know if I would if I treated me the
way
I
treated you. We didn't know one another, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't until obviously that you were off the radio that I reached out, because I've been fired. I've been told by people, everybody in the business, you'll never work again. Yeah. I've been in that place where everybody just said, you're Australia. Get out of here. We want nothing to do with you. And somebody was kind enough to reach out to me during those times of my life. And I said, you know what? I wasn't nice to the guy on the radio. Let me see if I can be nice to the guy off the radio. And that's why I decided, let me see if I can reach out and say hi.
Incredibly appreciative of that. And, sometimes when you get yourself into a really, really bad space in your life, it's because of loneliness. And it's because of feeling, you know, sad and dark and not being able to talk to anybody, or not feeling like you could talk to somebody. And then when you hit rock bottom, as you may or may not know, then it's times 10. Then the isolation is times 10. You lose your career. You lose a lot of your friends. You lose a lot of people that you've come to rely on. And you feel like, if you felt like you were alone to get into this mess, now you really feel like you're alone. So to have some people within the industry to reach out like you did, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I was listening on the first episode, the first official episode of your podcast, Mitch Unfiltered.
Episode one. Yeah.
Right. It was, I mean, I highly encourage anybody to listen to it, because it's
thank you.
I mean, it causes a lot of self-reflection, I think, for myself. I think for anyone who listens, I know that you've talked about it even on that episode, but I thought one of the many powerful moments, but one of the moments I thought was just really cool to hear was your co-host Jason, who, first of all, props
Jason
to him.
Hamilton, he's terrific. Yeah,
I mean, the way he handled, let you kind of let things breathe, and then ask some great questions about all the stuff that happened in your life. But he brought up the fact that he reached out to you while you were at your lowest.
and just invited you to play golf.
Yes.
And I thought it was such a cool story that it would be great for you to share, because it was like, wow, that's, I think more of us need to be like Jason.
Well, I mean, for your audience, it does, I don't know what your audience knows. Well, let's go back.
Okay. Yeah, we start from the beginning, because really what I want to talk about is the damn Hawks game. But I know we have to obviously talk about what happened to you that led up to you not being on the radio anymore, and also what's happened since. So, and Steve is right. That was a great question he asked. But let's start where you want to start so you can fill people in.
Well, I want your audience to understand what we're talking about here. In August of 2017, I was arrested in a prostitution sting in Bellevue. And it was the end and the beginning in a lot of different ways. And the episode that you're talking about, and I lost my career. I was a KJR for many, many years with iHeartRadio, and they treated me great. And I lost everything from a professional standpoint. And it was a really, really tough time. It was tough times leading into that arrest and the darkness leading into that arrest. And I had to make some decisions over the 15 months of trying to get better and get healthy as to what I was going to do with my life. The first thing I had to make sure that I did was take accountability and responsibility for my mistakes. And when I decided many, many, many months later that I was in a position to be creative, that I wanted to be creative again, I didn't know when I was going through all this that I ever wanted to be creative again. And I got to a point where I did. And so the podcast route, my listeners were pounding their fists on the table, come back, do a podcast, do it your way. And when we decided to do the podcast with Jason, we had to make some decisions. I had to make some decisions as to what that first podcast was going to sound like. And that's what you're referring to, episode number one. And it was really, guys, it was really hard for so many different reasons, so many layers. Not the least of which, you tell your story of your darkness and your depression and your sadness and being ashamed and embarrassed for several years, and looking at yourself in the mirror, not seeing somebody that everybody else saw, and feeling too ashamed to talk to somebody about not liking yourself very much, and not liking the way you come across as a father, and not liking the way you come across as a husband, and not liking the way you sound on the radio anymore, and being incredibly self-critical, and not having the courage to speak up to somebody and say, I'm struggling. And then to lose a member of your family that was the most important person in my life, I lost. I had to decide what episode one was going to sound like. And I felt like I owed an explanation to a lot of people that trusted me for so many years. And that starts with my wife and boys, who I betrayed and I shamed and I publicly embarrassed. And it goes all the way through to my former coworkers and co-employees at iHeart and KJR for all those years. And I owed a lot of people an apology, and I did it on social media, but I didn't think it was enough. And so I did it on episode one. And then the question was, are you going to talk a little bit about what led you there? And that was excruciating. It took a long time and work with therapists for me to have the courage to do that. And the other thing that I really was concerned about, guys, is, when you talk about darkness and sadness and depression, some people might take it as excuse making. And I never wanted it to ever sound like I was doing anything less than taking accountability and responsibility for what I did was wrong. There's a lot of people that are struggling out there, the people that are listening right now that are struggling right there, and it doesn't they can manage it. They don't have to go break the law and betray and embarrass the people that they love and their coworkers and their friends and their listeners. So I wanted to describe, because I thought it might help somebody, the kind of sadness and darkness that I was dealing with for several years leading up to the arrest, but I never wanted it to sound like, oh, Mitch is making excuses. Mm-hmm. And so that balance was very, very difficult. So you go to episode one and you listen for yourself, and we've done 12 since. We're back to talking sports, and unfortunately, we had to deal with a Hawks game the other day that none of us really liked. And so, that's kind of the cliff notes to the story.
I love to say also, I know some people asked, and some of them said, didn't you guys roast him when all this stuff went down? And I'd like to apologize, because I know I did.
I have no idea.
I've made crack jokes about it. And then, honestly, it took someone texted once, said, the guy screwed up. you know, made a big mistake, but he's a human being, and you guys are being really hard on him. And you know, you lose sight of that. And you even mentioned in that episode how sometimes it was the pizza story where you just talked about how, you know, you do 4 hours a day and 5 days a week. Sometimes you say stuff you don't realize that you're putting your foot in your mouth. And it took someone just calling us out on it. I was just like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. It's a, this.
It's what makes the world go round, though. I made fun of people for 23 years on KJR. Mm-hmm. I've made fun of people.
You lose sight of
so
that.
So I get, no, but I get it. I get mm-hmm. it. I mean, it comes with the territory, doesn't it? When you decide to do what we did, what we do for a living, you put yourself out there. If you mess up and you fall, you at some level
especially
deserve.
It's the evil competitor.
Oh, the evil competitor that's been stomping on you for 15 years.
Well, yeah. and Mitch, look, as much as you give us a lot of credit, I mean, when I came to town, as long as I've been to town, even when we were doing well, you were still kicking ass. I mean, and that's why why you were worth making fun of. There are some shows in town that, you know, have come and gone that we've never talked about because they weren't as good as you and weren't giving us a run for our money. So,
you're being nice.
Yeah.
You're being nice.
And I mean, look, and anybody that knows your show and knows you, they know what you've meant to Seattle. You are, and being in this business and working in this town, there's a lot of great radio talent in this town, and they don't all work for our company. I wish they did, but I think you have to acknowledge that. And you have been an amazing radio talent for Seattle. Also, just an amazing radio talent in general. Knowing your history, knowing why you got in the business, your love for sports, also your love for being the best at what you do, and learning, getting to know you, and knowing how your father inspired you to be the best, and the work ethic, and just everything in general. What I like to say is that when a guy like you comes on and says what you say, that, you know, and you take accountability. I've told everybody, first lesson in life, because it was given to me, let somebody else make excuses for you. You just take accountability. That's the first thing you've done. You've said, look, I don't want anybody to think I'm making excuses. When we first talked about it, you're like, what I did this. Nobody else did this. This was me. And what I like to say is, now I'm the guy that gets to not make excuses for you, but say, I totally recognized what you did was indeed something that came out of some deep problems that you just were not aware that you had, which a lot of us who have those same deep problems, we get it. We know it. We just know. We go, when something like this happens, it's like, this dude is unaware that he's got some deep ass going on in his life, which is why when I talked to my boss and I heard he reached out to you, I said, I need to talk to this guy. Because folks that have been where you have been as far as having the issues, we know. We never judge because we know those issues are so tough. Depression, being a guy, because guys don't ever ask for help. Guys don't ever reach out. You know, there's a show we do every year here in Entercom called I'm Listening. And man, the athletes that have come forward, the military men that have come forward and said, the stuff I'm dealing with, I never thought I could talk to anybody. And then they ended up having bad stuff happen because they couldn't talk. That's why I love you, man, because you're talking, because your issues that you had, a lot of us are going through, and we don't know we can reach out and say hi. So that's the good thing that's come of this for me that I want to applaud you for,
well,
because
you're nice.
Letting people know you
Thank
can
you.
Talk about this stuff.
Well, you know, it's tough to talk about. I mean, and what you told me in one of our handful of lunches, I remember you said it a couple of times, Mitch, you know, don't preach. You know, tell your story, and if it's helpful to somebody, then it's helpful to somebody. And it's hard for me not to, because I know the biggest mistake I made. You say that I didn't know that I was. I knew. I maybe didn't know the depth of where I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I knew that I was in bad shape. I mean, there was no question about it. And I was just, you know, I was Mitch on the radio, and I had this great family, and I had my health, and I had their health, and I had this great support staff and this great job, and I was making good money, and I was. And yet every morning I'd wake up and I got to be a better dad. I got to be a better husband. What am I doing? And I was just. The one thing I would say to you and your audience, if you allowed me for just 10 seconds, is I just was afraid and ashamed to say something to somebody. I had my wife next to me every night who didn't choose. She didn't choose the life that I chose. And I had my boys, and I had people to talk to. And I couldn't. And I was too embarrassed. Why should Mitch have them? I mean, the people across the way, they have big problems. They have sick children. They have They have other things going on in their life. Who am I to have these problems when I've been graced with all these good things? And I just would say to anybody out there, if there's something in your life that you're not happy with, if there's something in your life that you're struggling with, if it's a relationship or it's yourself, it's your self-esteem, if it's a loved one, talk to somebody. Even if it's a stranger on the corner, don't hold it in. Don't make the mistake that I made. And find somebody, whether it's a professional or a coworker, just find somebody. Because as soon as you verbalize how you're feeling to somebody, you're on the road. That's the smallest first step on the road to recovery, I think. And it's what I didn't do, and I regret it every single day. I regret it every single day.
And Mitch, I will say this, and I really don't want to make this about me, so I'm just going to be really quick about it. But I know you said you deeply hurt your wife, deeply hurt your family. I will tell you this. I have done the same thing. It may have been different, and like I said, I'm not going to go into exactly what it was, but I tell you this, the level of hurt you feel you caused your wife, the level of hurt you feel you caused your children, I know I have done in my life, which is why I reached out to you. I know that you have to face those folks, knowing how deeply you hurt them, seeing that anguish and sadness on their faces. Yeah. I've done the same thing, which is why I reached out to you, because it doesn't matter how it happened. What mattered is you know, as well as I know, we did this to our spouse and yes. to our kids. So I was there. I've been there, which is why I was like, man, I want to just be able to reach out and go, dude, I know what you're going through, and everything you're doing is the right thing. It's all you can do is just try to be the best guy you can be. You've done what you've done. I did what I did. All I can do is just love my family and hope that that's good enough, because I can't change what I did. I just can be a better man and love them and hope that I can be
one
forgiven.
Day at a time. I know yeah. it's a cliche, but you get up every morning and you try to be a little better each day, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm not, you know, certainly out of the woods. I'm not. I mean, this is something I'm going to be trying to manage for the rest of my life,
yeah.
especially the part of what I've done to others and what I've done to coworkers, my old coworkers and my old bosses, and the people that I've let down, the listeners and the friends and the family. And my mom raised me the right way, and yeah. It's tough, but you know, you get up each day and you try to make the best of what you got. And I'm on the road to being more creative, and I've got the podcast, the Mitch Unfiltered podcast, which you're nice enough to promote for me. And so
it's on iTunes, by the way, also
everywhere.
Spotify,
everywhere. Yeah,
MitchUnfiltered.com. You want to check and definitely check it out. Please check out the first episode, because I told we and both Steve and I were talking about this. It was like, we really won't say a whole lot about what happened, because you did such a great job. There's no way we could recreate that. We'll just tell people to go listen to the podcast. It really is beautiful. It's great radio, because it's real.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you. And like Steve said, to Jason, your co-host. And
Jason's great. Yeah.
We couldn't recreate it, so we just tell everybody to go listen to that if you want the full story. And you
I have
really
gotten
want to.
So many emails and texts. Not even texts, emails from people I don't know, from around the country, around the world, of saying they heard episode one and they could totally relate to it and it's helped them. And so.
And I just want to say, as inspiring as it was to you, Steve, I still don't expect you to change. I expect you to be, you know, the same work ethic.
It was the moment that I'm listening to him. I'm just like, geez, man. Like, here's a guy who I always thought just said, you know, you're Mitch in the morning. And you're like, oh, well, he's battling self-esteem issues, too. Like, it's like these little things that I never thought about. But I'm just like, gosh, man, I'm hearing what you're talking about. I'm just like, yes, I totally get. And it was just an eye-opening experience.
And we live in Washington. And, Mitch, this is the funny thing I tell everybody who's good, because depression and just what people go through and the self-esteem issues, we live in the state of Washington, which might be the greatest behavioral science epicenter in the country. I don't know if there's any better place to be if you've got mental health issues. This is the place to be. And it's ironic that we don't know, like you, me, Steve, we don't know that, wait a second, a lot of folks are going through it, and this area knows how to deal with it almost better than any other area in the country, and yet here we are. It's because guys don't talk about this. We weren't raised to talk about it. Your mother raised you the right way? Well, my mother did too, but I was also raised by the society we grew up in that said, guys are tough, and you just tough it out. You don't ever talk. And that's the one thing that I love about this new thing, what we're doing, because the military needs this, especially they need this. So no excuses, Mitch. You're absolutely right. But thank you for starting the conversation, because we need to continue it. Because the reason why it happened is hitting somebody. They may not do the same thing, but it's the same reason. We need to talk about the reason. And we also need good men like you to go, I'm not using it as an excuse.
No.
I did this. And that's why I love it, man. I think there's no better way you could do this.
Well, thank you. And, you know, my father had an expression. I'm sure he stole it from somebody. He used to say that if we all sat in a circle and threw our troubles into the middle, you would race to get your own troubles back.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
And that,
I might have to steal that.
And that maybe was a part of the problem, because because I felt I kept hearing that little story. And I used to think, you know, shame on me for thinking that I've got problems, because this guy, this woman, this person next to me in the car next to me, who's, I don't know, driving to Children's Hospital because they have a sick child, they've got problems. And I just was ashamed of feeling bad and not liking myself very much and not liking what I had become, and just refused to speak out and say something to somebody, which I needed to do.
So we're talking to Mitch Levy. Yeah. I tell you what, Steve, when we come back, a little Hawks talk.
Yeah, we got beat Migs, but Mitch wants to play it, and then can you stick around?
Sure.
All right.
What do I have to do? I got nothing left. Here I am.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but I would have.
I'm available for the next couple of years if you want.
I might have been diplomatic with the situation, but yes. So Mitch pretty much can stay with us until basically what, 2020?
Yeah. When's your contract?
It's like 950-ish.
Yeah. All right. Here's what we're gonna do. Well, this is special edition of Beat Migs with Mitch Levy, and then we'll also talk a little Hawks. We have to do that.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
You're the best guy. I want to talk about it.
They blew it.
There you go.
I was about to say, let's have some fun talking about Hawks. I'm like, ah, it's such a depressing thing to talk about.
I know. We were looking so forward to having you on. We thought this is gonna be great. We'll talk about going to New Orleans, and no, we're not doing it. On Friday, Steve did get this one wrong.
What Pacific Ocean trench is the deepest in the world?
Equator.
No.
the sea.
No.
The sea town.
The what?
Water.
No.
No, no. We're looking for the Mariana Trench. Hopefully we'll have tough questions like that, and hopefully Mitch will know those answers. Yep, you got a shot at beating Steve, 206-421-ROCK, and you'll be playing with Mitch Levy, Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I know if bankruptcy is going to provide me with relief? What are the steps for my situation?
There's so much information out there about bankruptcy with the internet and what people have heard from friends and other people that they've talked to about their financial issues or bankruptcy. There's also a lot of bad information out there or urban legends about bankruptcy. In order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you need to talk to an attorney that's experienced in bankruptcy. So in order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you should talk to an experienced bankruptcy attorney. And right, my job is not to convince you to file bankruptcy. My job is to help you to make that decision and have all the facts so that you can make an informed decision about whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, what benefits it's going to have for you, and what the downside of filing bankruptcy is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com.